And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day. The title of it, What Did You Say? What did you say? Plus our common sense commentary, Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. A lot of deep theology there. God's business advice for all businesses. If you're a business person, you'll want to hear that. In today's Facebook post, make a good choice.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, probably not. Entertainment and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866 K-Praise. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, so buckle up, little campers. Here we go. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then we're coming back.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel. I can get her done. Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using helpwantedsandiego.com? Where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job. Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile-friendly, just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on helpwantedsandiego.com. Long name, amazing results. Okay, voice of my car, please program the location coordinates for my new job interview.
I cannot comply with that request.
Did you say no?
You don't want to drive that far to work. It makes you cranky.
I don't get cranky.
I recommend helpwantedsandiego.com.
My car is giving me career advice?
It's free, and uploading your resume is faster and easier than ever. You will find hundreds of great local jobs within easy driving distance.
Okay, fine, I'll do it.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Well, technically, I do the steering.
Ha ha ha. Easy to use and easy to apply. Helpwantedsandiego.com. Long name, amazing results.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. We encourage you to send an email to the show, davidspoon@kprz.com. Couple things I do want to point out real fast before we get diving into our DDD. So this is just kind of on that personal note level, just so people can be aware. If you have gone through a difficult church experience or a difficult life experience where you are not sure why the Lord allowed something in your life, or all this maybe greater drama than you were used to or planning on, and it's kind of an expansive element in your life, I encourage you to go to hisappointment.com. Hisappointment.com. It's kind of a reflection of my 39 years in faith, where I went through, I first became a Christian, accepted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was, you know, everything was fantastic, because at the very beginning of it all, I said yes to the testimony of God. And then I thought, plus I'm Jewish. I said, so one way or another, I'm getting this covered. And so in my mind, I was just like covering the bases. And then the Lord, you know, really grabbed hold of my heart, and some of the book talks about the deliverance and the processes I went through. But after that, I went through a difficult church experience where the church started off one way and morphed into something else, or something less than a New Testament church. It didn't start off being cult-like. It became cult-like. And I just have these unbelievable teaching moments that the Lord and I have gone through there, where he's tried to teach me elements or different understandings of, you know, why would I go through anything like that? I mean, I can understand to some degree that, you know, down the road I might be able to help people not fall into that, without being legalistic on either side of it. But one of the things the Lord showed me early on was a lot of that experience for me had to do with me understanding what I should never try to reproduce, which was somebody going around in the name of a church and yet functioning as more of a cultic grab control kind of group. So as I went back into ministry, of course I had a heightened sense to that. And then when I had moments where that was, you know, where maybe some church leadership would lean that direction, I would then speak and share. And then that would, in some degrees, it would bring some balance. You can't extreme on any of it, but you have to be aware that sometimes the Lord allows you to go through something so that simply you will be a producer that will not only not produce that, will be the voice against that if somebody else is trying to produce that. There's a lot of reasons why the Lord may let you go through different things, but it all comes down to this one moment in your Christian faith, somewhere along the journey, where you told the Lord, see, I'm going to tell you whose real fault it is. It's yours. Because you told the Lord, whatever you want, I want to be like Jesus. And therein is the rub, because the Lord says, okay, you're going to go through whatever I put you through so I can teach you to reflect Jesus Christ more. And usually that's in response to our prayer. Unfortunately, for those of us that are not that smart, we should be at least aware that when we do that, we're the ones who are asking for it, and the Lord is just simply answering our prayer, even if the experience is beyond what we anticipated. That doesn't mean it's not an answer to prayer. And when you're done with it all, when it's said and done, you're glad for every moment, because you're more connected to the Lord than ever. And it's like, yeah, I wouldn't give that up for anything. That's one of the things. Well, we're going to do the DDD later, but that's one of the biggest things that people need to recognize. In life, you're going to have pain. You're going to have difficulty. Jesus didn't say, if anybody, you know, offends you, you should forgive them. Jesus said, when they offend you, not if they offend you. It's a big difference. When means it's coming. If means, oh, it might not happen or it might happen. Guess what? He didn't say if. He said when. Because in life, in the engagement between sinful man and sinful man, redemptive story at play or not, there are pains and there are troubles and there are trials and there are moments where there is friction. That is a part of it. And we get to learn to forgive, and we get to learn to ask for forgiveness. We get to learn to go through the entire process of all of the embracing of humanity connected to true Christianity. You don't get, like, it's not like a part of this. Like, Jesus is like, well, I just really want you guys to learn to make little turkeys in Sunday school. This is not what this is all about. It's all about you and I reflecting Jesus a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more as every trial and triumph is processed into our system. And while you are here, you, for your ultimate decision-making power, have to make a decision as to where you're going to spend eternity. And if you make that decision to spend eternity with God, you're going to go there as his masterpiece, for he's the one who's working on you. And you will go through item after item for which you cannot explain, nor could Moses, nor could Abraham, nor could Job, nor could any of the apostles, nor could any but Jesus. Because his communion was so tight with the Father, everything that took place, they were doing in a partnership. And what we miss is because we're not always connected, we just look at the circumstance and interpret circumstance as the voice of God alone. And it is rarely true. You interpreting your circumstance is no different than Job interpreting his circumstance of God being really tough on him. But if he had the privilege of reading earlier in the chapter what we get to read now, he'd have found out that God was bragging about Job to Satan. That's a piece of information that would have been very helpful in the scenario. And there are many things in your own life that certain pieces of information would be very helpful. Now we have such things in Scripture where we understand that there has to be a trust in our part, because we haven't yet read chapter 1 where the real story is taking place. That means that when we say something like trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When we're mentioning that, we really need to do that because God gave that to us as a tool so that we wouldn't jump ship. We wouldn't wrongly accuse, but that we would surrender to him and trust him. It's a simple question that I asked the band of brothers at the Calvary Chapel Church on Tuesday night. We talk all the time about trusting God, but do you really believe that in all of your circumstances, God has your best interests in mind? Because if we really believe that, we would live that a wee bit. We would walk that. So you might not understand everything, and I certainly don't understand everything, but I can say one thing that has been true in almost the 40 years of being a Christian, and that is I have a little more trust that God has my best interests in mind, no matter what the circumstance tries to tell me, because he is greater than any situation. He's the creator of all of life. So, yeah, I'll go yes. Yes, Lord. Okay? All right. Not plan, just use it as the Lord sees fit to work it into your lives. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
At the height of World War II, there was room in America for conscientious objectors. Where are we now? Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint.
It was the great cataclysm of the 20th century, World War II. America was fighting for its life. Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan totalitarian nightmares bent on world conquest had to be defeated. Millions of Americans took up arms willing to sacrifice their lives. And now there's an amazing, powerful film about one man who was willing to give his life, but whose conscience and deeply held religious beliefs would not allow him to take the lives of others. Mel Gibson's new movie, Hacksaw Ridge, tells the story of Desmond Doss, a Seventh-day Adventist from the hills of Virginia, who enlisted in the Army with the understanding he could serve as a medic and therefore not violate his firm belief in thou shalt not kill. But when Doss arrived at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, he was in for a rude surprise. His sergeant, his captain, and the judge at the subsequent military hearing didn't seem to care much for Doss's convictions, nor did members of his platoon, who accused him of cowardice and let Doss know how they felt with their fists. Doss stood firm, despite facing years of imprisonment. With the world so set on tearing itself apart, he told the military tribunal, it don't seem like such a bad thing to me to put a little bit of it back together. Now, I won't tell you exactly how the Army gave in. That would be a spoiler. But I will tell you this, because as they say, the rest is history. Doss went with his platoon to Okinawa and scaled a cliff known as the Escarpment, which in the film is called Hacksaw Ridge. And that is where the floodgates of hell opened. Hundreds of GIs perished in the fight that day. At night, as the wounded lay in agony, Doss went from man to man, dragged them to the edge of the escarpment, and lowered them down on a rope one by one. In all, he saved some 75 wounded GIs from certain death. For his actions, President Truman awarded Doss the Congressional Medal of Honor, the only conscientious objector in U.S. history to win the nation's highest award. Before I go any further, Hacksaw Ridge is rated R for horrifically brutal battle scenes. It is not suitable for children, but it is an outstanding movie. The characters, the dialogue, the drama, the cinematography are phenomenal. If you can stomach the scenes of death and destruction, you should go see it. And here's the major reason why. I've never seen a film that so powerfully underscores the importance of freedom of conscience. Writing at the National Catholic Register, Stephen Gradonis calls World War II Private Desmond Doss a hero for our troubled times. Times in which florists and bakers are being hauled before civil rights commissions, being fined, losing their businesses. Times in which pharmacists in Washington State can lose their licenses for refusing to dispense abortion pills. Times in which churches in Massachusetts can run afoul of public accommodation laws requiring gender-neutral bathrooms. We do indeed have a model in Desmond Doss. Doss quietly and courageously sought to be a good citizen, but he knew where his true citizenship lay. Scorn, the threat of imprisonment, even Japanese bullets could not induce him to abandon his convictions. And most importantly, Doss backed his convictions with his actions, his humility, his bravery, and his willingness to sacrifice his life, even for those who opposed him, won over his harshest critics. May it be so with us. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas.
We invite you to visit Breakpoint.org to get further information about many great books and other resources available there.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ. 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope it's a blessing for you, for those that are listening. For those that have never heard the show before, we have two very important words for you, ad and vil. Advil. Always helpful. Outside, the weather, a little frightful. You know, it was a little cold last night, I noticed. I think it was when we left a window open and I woke up in my teeth were chattering. I figured this might be a little cold. I do want to encourage you to be aware of some of the different events that are taking place and to be aware that as Christians, spiritual warfare doesn't disappear with an election that you may be pleased with. Spiritual warfare is continually at work. It has been since the garden. It does not cease in 4-year cycles. So don't get weird on me. You make sure you understand what we're supposed to do. Occupy until he comes. That's the most important part. Let us get ready to play. We're going to play our music for our Common Sense Commentary. And what we're going to be covering is Galatians 3, 21 through 25. A little heady in the sense of a little theologically important. But I think for some people, you'll enjoy where Paul takes this letter. I'm hoping you'll enjoy it anyway. Let's have our music for our Common Sense Commentary. Alrighty, here we go. Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. Let's go through all of it. We're just going to read through it and then just see what pops up out of it. That's how what a Common Sense Commentary is. Here it is. Is the law then opposed to the promises of God? Not at all. For if a law could have been given that could impart life, then righteousness would have certainly come from the law. But the scripture pronounces all things confined by sin, so that by faith in Jesus Christ, the promise might be given to those who believe. Now get this. This is cool if you follow. Before this faith came, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law became our guardian to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's going to be the key verse. Then it says, now that faith has come, and we are no longer under a guardian. There have been commentaries written on this. I can't put all the books or the commentaries written on just these verses. I pile them high, fill up this entire studio. You would never even get close. But as you read this passage, you're getting this great understanding that there is the law and then there is this promise. There's the law and there's this promise. There's the law and there's this promise. The promise that's being referred to in Scripture was given to Abraham 430 years before the law was given. Because the promise was given and then the law was given, the law did not negate, eliminate, dissolve the promise. The law came about so that we could grasp how to get to the promise. This is something that people miss, and I'll kind of break it down in simple terms, if I can. I don't know if I can, but we'll see. We had a promise from God. Here's the promise, okay? Well, I don't care what you think the promise, but here's the promise. I'm going to give you eternal life, and you're going to have my righteousness, and I'm going to be in communion with you. But what happened after that promise was given is the law was given to us for us to recognize we can't attain to this promise from God in our own strength. We can't get there on our own. The law was there to help us be a tutor, a guardian, so to speak, a tutor to lead us to Jesus. The law was in place to help you and I understand we can't get to the righteousness of God through our own merits. So the law was used as a tutor or a teacher to teach us this truth. And then enters Jesus Christ, which the law was pointing to all along. Here it is in a paraphrase. God wanted us to know that he loves us, but we need his righteousness to fellowship with him. And we can't get to his righteousness by the things that we do, because we'll never be good enough. So he demonstrated that through the law that we were going to fall short because he could keep his part of the covenant. We just couldn't keep ours. So then he brought Jesus Christ into the picture to confirm what he promised before the law so that now we can have the righteousness of God. You want me to sum it up in a sentence? I'll sum it up for Terminator Todd so he doesn't have to try and write all this stuff. Jesus enables us to be righteous with God. The law taught us that without Jesus, we could never get there. And there it is. Jesus enables us to be righteous with God. the law teaches us that without Jesus, we can never get to that righteousness. We can't get there. We need Jesus Christ so that the justification by faith, the righteousness given by faith, the grace given through faith, the mercy given through faith, all of these things given to us that we can access them. We need Jesus to get to them. When it says that Jesus is like the cornerstone, that Jesus is the key, Jesus holds the riches, this is what it's all talking about. That for us to be able to engage with God, we have to come through Jesus Christ. I know people out there going, no, what about all these people? What about all these people? That doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair, because what are you trying to say? It's Jesus or nothing? No, I'm not saying anything. However, God, who created the universe, who can also write a book, makes it really clear his method is how you do it. And I understand people don't want to, I don't want to buy into that. I'm just going to believe that it's a person can get there any which way they can. It doesn't say that. God never teaches that. That's never communicated. When people say to you, people can get to heaven any way they want, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence they can get there with any faith, with any religion? Where is it? And if you say, well, where's the evidence you can't? I'll hold up the book again. And I'll hold up the book 1,000 times. And you want to know why I'll hold up the book? I'll keep it simple. Because this book was written by the Lord. And I know people are like, no, it's got this in it, it's got this in it. No, you're missing it. God, who created the universe, can write a book. Let's just think of those two thoughts. God, who created the universe, can write a book and get his message across. And in his book, he says it's through Jesus. Why are you trying to change it? What's the deal?
Well, everybody's got a book.
Not everybody's got an empty grave, friend. There's only one that talks about how the power of death has been defeated by an empty grave. So you do whatever you want. You go whatever direction you want. I'm going the empty grave, empty tomb, live forever method. And if I'm wrong and you're right, no big deal. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you're in big trouble. That's how it goes. Can't help you. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
When we understand that kids have a design and we have a design and our assignment was never to break this design, we are to prune it gently into a work of art.
Accepting God's design of your child allows you more freedom as a parent, as Hetty Britz describes on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
But God has put the basics in there. Once we accept that and we stop trying to change them into us, which is cloning, not parenting, then the joy starts happening. And also when we can look, I can look at my pine tree daughter and I can say, she gives me peace. She gives me that reminder to stop and smell the flowers. What do I like about my rosebush kid? What do I like about my palm tree? And when I can truly embrace the greatness that's in that design in my kids and in my husband, then it becomes an adventure.
More great insights and parenting thoughts from Hetty at familyminute.org.
Here's the word on wealth, a retirement update from five-star wealth manager, certified financial planner, Marty Schneider, the retirement professor.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to this edition of The Word on Wealth. Glad to have you along. I had a wonderful couple that took me up on the offer for a free consultation. These are folks that are within 2 years now of retirement. They're trying to sit down and figure out what's best for them. The goal here is to, number one, find out very clearly what are we trying to accomplish, putting it all together, and then, of course, absolutely making sure that you don't run out of lifestyle. That, friends, is what financial and retirement planning is all about. For most people, it's just a little bit overwhelming. No two households are exactly the same. If you need help with that, come on in for your absolutely free consultation. I meet with everybody personally. 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526. You can also go to my website, theretirementprofessor.com. Unfortunately, friends, we're out of time. I am the Retirement Professor, Marty Schnatter, signing off. God bless you.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. We're going to be doing a very interesting, kind of a complex devotional diamond of the day called God's Business Advice. I know a lot of people in the business world, and there are some people that are like, I want to do business. I want to get involved in you know, making a profit and doing different things, and so I'm going to give some advice that comes out of James chapter 4. It's going to be called God's Business Advice. I don't want to do that yet. I do want to remind you that in our next segment, we will have our Facebook post plus our history. Covering history is sometimes just fun. I always find one piece of history that is like, what? Because, I mean, who would have thought that kind of thing? So we're going to get into that. I want to let you know for tomorrow's show, we have Chris Brown going to be jumping on the show, and Chris's national radio ministry throughout the Salem Media Group. Additionally, the following day, we have Miles McPherson going to be jumping on the show. So he'll be on, I think Miles is on Wednesday at 3:15. Chris is on like at 2:30-ish. And we have some different plans and different giveaways as we reset the show for year five. So we've done 4 years. And we've done 962 shows. We're 38 shows away from 1,000. And you bet there'll be some kind of recognition for 1,000 shows, because, I don't know, I just want to be able to go, I did 1,000 shows. It just sounds cool. I think if I said I did 986 shows, wouldn't sound as cool as if I said I did 1,000 shows. I just think that's cool. That'll be 2,000 live hours when we get to that point. That's a lot. It's not a ton. Well, actually, a ton is 2,000, isn't it? So then, therefore, it'd be 4,000 live hours. But it's almost a ton of hours. My math, it's so good, isn't it? Here's what I know. Can we cover it? You got a credit card? I mean, those are the two things that I live by. All right, so we're going to get into this. What I consider to be an interesting DDD, devotional diamond of the day. This is coming out of James 4, 13 through 16. We don't really have any music for this, do we? I don't think we got any, do we?
Thanks for the advice, Skipper.
Wait, what was that? Play that again.
Thanks for the advice, Skipper.
Okay. Okay. That's good. I like that. Yeah, I thought we might have something, but I couldn't think of it. We'll take it. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. This is going to be a little more complex in the sense of it's longer. Okay, so longer means longer. It doesn't mean harder. It just means longer. All right. Okay. You sleep longer. That's not harder, is it? Ah. Okay. James 4, 13 through 16. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. This is Business 101. You ever go into business? You ever want to go into business? Ever think, I'm going to do a fruit stand. I'm going to do an orange juice stand. I'm going to do a lemonade stand. You want to know a little bit about business. You want to understand that there's profit and loss. You understand that whole thing, right? Here's what you need to understand about business, right? This is as American as a DDD can get, as a devotional diamond of the day can get. This is as good as it is. Ready? Psalm chapter 20, verse 4. Psalm chapter 20, verse 4 says, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Let's understand something right away. Plans are not bad. Planning is good. Scriptures are loaded with different references to making plans. Plans are super terrific. We're going to have Marty Schneider on here. He helps people plan for their retirement. Zero problems with plans. What's the plan? Well, do we have a good plan? A noble man makes noble plans, the Bible says. Plans are good. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Planning is great. Remember the old line? Those that fail to plan, plan to fail. Okay, A, that's not original. And B, it's true. God is into the plan. He likes working with people. People writing a plan, great. Here's the difference between that and this portion. This portion says this. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade or make profit. This is plans that are being boasted about. I'm going to tell you the difference between planning that is good in the Lord and planning that is bad in the Lord. When you make a plan, you surrender it to the Lord. Okay, not complex. When you make a plan and you boast about your plan because it's your plan and your plan's brilliant and you act like your plan is the plan of the man and it's all you and you nailed it down, you're doing it wrong. When you make a plan, you surrender it to God. That's appropriate. When you make a plan and you boast on it because you think your plan is brilliant, that is inappropriate. God works with us in partnership, working with our plans and in our plans. But us boasting about our plans, that is not fine. That is not okay. You want to take your plan and commit it to the hands of the Lord and entrust him with it? All good. You want to look at your plan and do a dance over somebody else because your plan's so much more brilliant? Not good. You want to look at your plan and operate in a spirit of fear? Not good. You want to take that plan and yield it to the hand of God and entrust that if his hand is in the middle of it, it's right? That's good. You see that difference? One has an arrogance or one has a plan built outside of God, but a plan with God is a submitted plan. Isn't that funny that earlier this hour we had an entire segment talking about submission? Here's the key and the component of this business teaching from the Lord. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town. By the way, today and tomorrow refer to now and the future. Plans for now, plans for the future. And you say, we're going to go into such a town and spend a year there. You're picking your location. We're going to do this plan. We're going to do this plan now. I'm picking my location. And what are we going to do when we're there? Well, by golly, we're going to spend a year there and we're going to trade and make a profit. That's time, commerce, and earnings. Wow, you've got a plan really nailed down. And then the scripture goes, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? It's a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. That's God's really nice way of saying, 5 minutes from now, you're clueless. 5 minutes in the past, you're like, oh, I know everything that happened. I'm a genius. I get it. I saw everything that happened. Yeah, but 5 minutes from now, you know nothing that will happen. So as I'm laying in bed, my wife got what? A mister. You know what a mister is? You put water in it and it creates mist. And in theory, it's supposed to help you not get sick, even though she got sick. So I don't know how that works. But anyway, I'm sitting in bed. She gets up. She takes the dog out. I'm sitting in bed because it's our vacation time. And my head is still on the pillow and I'm facing where she should be. Not happy that she's not there. And I'm looking at the mister. And the mister is on high, and the mist is coming out of the mister. You want to know something amazing about that little thing? After about 4 inches, there's no more mist. It disappears. And that's what the scripture is talking about. What is your life? It's like that mister. Oh, my goodness gracious. It goes for about 4 inches, it disappears. Uses more water, disappears. More water, disappears. All of a sudden, I think I understood for the first time the whole mist thing. Because I'm looking at it, going, that thing just keeps pumping mist and then disappear. 5 inches above that mister, there is nada. If you were a mosquito, you'd be looking down going, you're an inch short. You know, it's like something weird about it. Here's the key component. Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You see, that's the statement. You know, if the Lord says yes, we'll get a yes. And if he says no, we'll get a no. Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that take it on. Boasting is arrogance, and arrogance is boasting, and both are evil, and we can't do that. We can't even afford it. You know, we're talking about business. You can't afford to do that. That's bad business. It's bad business to tell God what your plan is going to be. It's good business to make a plan, bring it before the Lord, and go, if you will bless this, it's in your hands. There you go. Not, here's my plan, God, make it work. That's not submission. That's arrogance. Submission is surrendering that plan to God. What if you have a plan for you to become a wealthy donut maker and you want to make $100,000, right, as a donut maker, okay? Here's something funny you probably never thought of. What if God's plan was to make you a donut maker and make you worth $10 million? I think God's plan's better. I mean, my idea is that you surrender it to him. You don't know. I don't know. But he does. God's business advice, surrender it to me. That's his business advice. Hey, I got great Christian advice. Surrender it to him. Best thing you could ever do. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk coming up on the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Maranatha Chapel is having a special celebration for your enjoyment, and it's free. That's right. On Sunday, December 11th at 6 p.m., Maranatha Chapel is presenting our special guest speaker, Will Graham, grandson of the beloved evangelist Billy Graham, who will be bringing a special message proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, Dennis Agajinian will be lifting up honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ through a special night of Christmas songs of praise and worship. Here's the best part. You and your family and friends can attend for free. Maranatha Chapel is located at 10752 Coastwood Road in San Diego. For more information, call 858-613-7800. That's 858-613-7800. Or go to maranathachapel.org. No child care is provided. The doors open at 5:30. Come December 11th and join us in the worship and special songs and hear the proclamation of the gospel by William Franklin Graham IV. Mark your calendars. It's going to be extraordinary. We'll see you there.
This is John MacArthur with another edition of Portraits of Grace. It's no secret life is full of embarrassing moments. My most memorable humbling experience didn't happen over a single moment, but stretched, frankly, over 2 years. I was preaching through the Gospel of John, and during 88 sermons, about 100 hours of preaching and thousands of hours of research, I was brought face to face with Jesus Christ. Being confronted by his standard, day after day, in that study, comparing myself continually to him, was one of the most humbling things I ever did. The same will also change your life as you gaze constantly into His true glory and see His majesty unfold. What about you? Are you willing to do that? To humble yourself by digging into God's Word on a regular basis and allowing the life of Christ to take its shape in you? Do it diligently and you will become a blessed portrait of grace.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
From the San Diego studios of KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. A couple of shout-outs for people to remember. DavidSpoon at KPRZ.com is our email. You're welcome to send it there. I also want people to know about the David Spoon Experience Facebook page, where they got a lot of people that send private messages, which you're more than welcome to do. Praying right now about some of the 2017 elements that are going to be taking place in the show. Could always use prayer for that. Just need as much wisdom as everybody else. We have the opportunity to have a little bit more political content if we so desire. I just haven't decided whether I so desire. So I'm kind of working through that with all the necessary people. I do want to let you know how much I appreciate the audience. Pray for the audience. Every day, I pray for the audience, and I pray for all the people that work here at the station every day. And I think that's an important thing for all of us to do. I have a new thing I've added into my prayer life. It's about 8 seconds. But it makes me, I don't know if it makes me feel better or just makes me more like, I don't know, mindful. But I pray for all the Christians, all the brothers, that they would be encouraged, and all the leaders that they would walk in humility. I just can't think of a better prayer. Doesn't take a lot of time. I offer it up, but I just want to make sure I'm praying for the brethren. That just seems like an important thing. All right, let's cover a little bit of history. One of these, I absolutely promise you have never heard. This is kind of a unique thing. After we get through the history, then we'll get our Facebook music in, and then we'll do our Facebook post. Let's start with this. In 1919, on this day, American-born Lady Astor became the first woman to take a seat on the British Parliament. An American woman, born American woman, took a seat on the British Parliament. It's kind of like, wow, who would have thought that? 1943, Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin met in Tehran for their first meeting during World War II on this day in 1943. On this day in 1964, the United States spacecraft Mariner 4 launched on its way to the first successful mission in outer space. In theory, it was going to Mars. Here is something you don't know. On this day in 2001, Enron Corp. You just say Enron Corp., you just go, One of the world's largest energy traders collapsed after would-be rescuer Dynegy Incorporated backed out of the $8.4 billion takeover deal. They filed for bankruptcy 4 days later. Yikes. What a mess that whole thing was. And I thought this was, of all of the different history elements, this was my favorite because this is the one I just absolutely had no idea about. Let's see if you guys have ever heard of this. In 1922, on this day, Captain Cyril Turner of the Royal Air Force gave the first public skywriting exhibition spelling out, "Hello, USA. Call Vanderbilt 7200 over the New York Times Square," he wrote it, and received 47,000 phone calls in less than a couple of hours after he did that in 1922. I just say that that captain figured out mass marketing long before anybody else had a clue. That dude had it nailed. I'm going to skywrite, going to get a bunch of people to call. I mean, that's just genius. Okay, for those that don't know, of course, we talked to Susie Q. Today is Cyber Monday. Today is also Turkey Leftover Day, which I thought actually every day for a month was Turkey Leftover Day, so I got to figure that out. Today also, by the way, is Letter Writing Day, Red Planet Day, but the best, today is National French Toast Day. I like French toast. That works for me. Let's have our song played for our Facebook post. What do you got for me, Terminator Todd? For me to say clueless is just a redundancy of me looking in my face in the mirror. What do you got?
That didn't give you a clue?
No. No, my brain's not there today. What do you got?
Home Improvement, Tim Allen.
Home Improvement. Oh, yeah, with Tim Allen, right? And who's that other guy? Al? Was that? Who's that?
Al was the character. Al Borland was his like sidekick.
Gotcha. All right. Good play. Very nice. Good job. All right, let's get into our Facebook post as we are in the wind down for our last 2 minutes. Here we go. This is coming out of my book. It's not going to be overly spiritual, but it is thought-provoking, I hope. I hope. It says this, as I write this, there are plenty of difficulties in my path, but I have the power to choose how they affect me. I can choose to believe that they will swallow me up and therefore walk around moping and complaining. Or I can choose to believe that God is for me, with me, and preparing his plan to unfold in my life. I can choose to expect the hand of God or the boot of life. The question is, which will I choose? If I choose to stand in faith, what can overcome me? Here is 1 John 5:4. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So if I choose to stand in faith, you know what can overcome me? Nothing. Because in God, if I stand in faith, I can stand in the Lord who helps me defeat the evils of this world. But here's something that's freaky. I have to choose. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That moment that he writes that will fear no evil, is a decision. And you and I, on a day-by-day, sometimes hour-by-hour existence, have to make decisions. The question is, what shall we choose? Do we choose faith that says God is for us and with us, or do we choose discouragement when we think he's on Pluto and doesn't know our name? No, choose wisely. That's the response. Choose wisely every choice. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Taking a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.